The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I wish I could say this to you in person, but at the moment I can't. We are now, for the moment, a church scattered instead of gathered. And we're going to be without the sacrament for a time because the Lord's Supper is a sacrament of the gathered church, not the scattered church. But that doesn't mean we're without the Word. In his small called articles, which are a confession of our churches, Martin Luther reminded us that God is rich in his grace and that he deals with us in many ways and not just one, through the word, through baptism, through the supper, through absolution, and through the mutual conversation of Christians speaking to one another. This last one in particular is going to be very important for us in the days and weeks ahead. We need to be speaking the word of God to one another and to those around us as the seriousness of our situation settles in. During our time of scattering, I will be preparing services such as this one today for you to use at home with your families or on your own. The order of service will be largely the same from week to week. Use your hymnals to follow along today. In the future, I will probably write out the service and post it along with the recording. It's going to take a week or so to fine-tune this, so please be patient with me and also be patient with one another. Think of this as a true Lenten fast. You know, we talk about fasting in Lent, and some of us give up a thing or two we love as a symbolic gesture in that direction. But this is a real fast, a fast of the Lord's Supper, a fast of our ability to gather together as a congregation. God has been known to do that with his people in order to strengthen and purify them for the tasks and challenges that lie ahead. Be assured of this, God will never leave us without his word. This is why he gave us the Holy Scriptures, the holy tradition of our liturgy and prayers and hymns, and also pastors who are called to see to it that the word is preached, whether we can meet or not, to many or to few. May the Lord bless us in this time of scattering and bring us together again soon, so that we may be able to celebrate the Paschal feast together in renewed sincerity and truth. So come, let us worship the Lord in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us take a moment in silent reflection to reflect upon our sinfulness and upon our plight in view of God's holy law, and particularly the Ten Commandments. Having so reflected, let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of God Almighty, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and he bestows on them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Please turn to the Grand Litany on page 288. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, hear us. God the Father in heaven, have mercy. God the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy. Be gracious to us. Spare us, good Lord. Be gracious to us. Help us, good Lord. From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death, good Lord, deliver us. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, help us, good Lord. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment, help us, good Lord. We poor sinners implore you to hear us, O Lord, to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit. We implore you to hear us, good Lord, to raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed. We implore you to hear us, good Lord, to give all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president, our governor, and all who are in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all. We implore you to hear us, good Lord, to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers. We implore you to hear us, good Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, we implore you to hear us. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. O Christ, hear us. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve your punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday in Lent is from the prophet Isaiah. For a long time I have held my peace, I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor, I will gasp and pant, I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The epistle reading is from the letter to the Ephesians. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things, and they said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that this poor beggar was born blind? Obviously, someone sinned, right? Blindness is not the will of God. Eyes were made to see. "In sin was I born, and in iniquity did my mother conceive me," said David. So who's responsible here, this man or his parents? Whose fault is it? Who is to blame for this man's predicament? There has to be some reasonable explanation. Religion demands a reasonable explanation. This is the error of false causality, or for you logical fallacy buffs, post hoc ergo propter hoc, meaning after this, therefore because of this. Blind from birth, sinful from birth, even conception. Therefore, sin must be the cause of blindness. It stands to reason. Or does it? If that were the case, everyone would be born blind, unless you are so religiously blind that you don't see your sin, I suppose. Jesus goes an entirely different way. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. sin and blindness have no causal connection. In fact, this man's blindness has a special purpose in the hidden will of God, that the works of God might be displayed in him, in his blindness, in his predicament. Did God cause this man's blindness? No, but he used it. God is an opportunist. He never lets a good crisis go to waste. Not a man born blind, nor a coronavirus epidemic. Did God cause this pandemic that has brought our world to its knees? Not exactly. God created the virus, yes, and the virus in its freedom found its way into our lungs, and God didn't stop it. But instead, God uses the opportunity, the crisis, to get us to be still and to know that he is God, so that the works of God might also be revealed in us. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. He is the light of the first day, for day is light. In Genesis, God only speaks in the day. After this evening sunset, God is silent until morning and daybreak, and then he speaks again. We must work the works of him who sent me, that is the Father, while it is yet day, Jesus said. Night is coming when no one can work. Jesus, the light, does the works of God in the light of day. He is the light that shines upon all men, whether they see him or not, or even acknowledge him or not. Believing does not click on the light. Believing opens eyes that were blind to see the light that has always been shining. This man born blind is a picture of unbelief and of faith for us. Jesus spits on the ground and he makes some clay out of the mud. That's a Sabbath violation. No kneading clay lest a brick might happen. But Jesus isn't making bricks. He's fixing the mud of Adam's eyes. Here's mud in your eye. And what a strange way to heal the blind, make them more blind, shove mud in their eyes. To the outside observer, this is cruelty and an affront to the handicapped. Someone should arrest Jesus right there on the spot. How dare he treat this blind beggar that way? But God's ways may appear cruel at times to us, unjust, sometimes brutal. Did we really have to have a worldwide pandemic just to get our attention? Yes, I think we did. We were so busy with our idols, God couldn't get a word in edgewise. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, we were seeing but not observing. We were hearing but not paying attention. We thought this show would go on in the same way every day. And then wham, it didn't. And the world stopped. And now we're all shut-ins, under house arrest. Jesus sends the man to the scent pool, Siloam. I'm sure the man wanted to get the mud out of his eyes as soon as possible, and any water would have done the trick. But Jesus sends him to a particular water, the scent pool, Siloam. That's the water that Jesus brings, who is the source of living water, baptismal water, if you will. That scent water that opens the eye of faith to fix itself upon Jesus, who is the light of the world. And the man does precisely as Jesus says, and he goes to the scent pool, and he washes his face, and he comes back seeing. And then Jesus is nowhere to be seen. And so the man actually has no idea what Jesus looks like. He only hears his words, and he felt mud in his eyes. He never saw Jesus. He never laid seeing eyes on Jesus. It's kind of like us, really. We hear him, and we feel his sacramental touch in baptism and in supper, but we have not yet laid eyes on him. And then things get interesting. The man was well known in the community. He was a beggar, a blind beggar, there on the street corner every day. And now, all of a sudden, he's walking around with 20/20 vision. And so the neighbors are a bit puzzled. Has he been pulling the wool over our eyes all these years? Isn't this the man who was born blind? Some said yes, others said, it just looks like him. But the man insisted, I am he, I'm the one. Which then raises the question, so then how did you come to see? And he tells them, this man named Jesus put mud in my eyes. He told me to wash in Siloam, and I came back seeing. And after this, therefore, because of this, in this case, exactly yes, a causality. Jesus is the cause of the man's eyes to be opened with mud and water and word. Well, then where is he? I don't know, the man says, and he wouldn't know even if Jesus were standing right next to him because he'd never seen him. Enter the Pharisees, the investigatorial religious authorities who loved causalities as well as correlations and other legalisms as they built their kind of inferential fence around the Torah. They don't believe the man's story on logical grounds. Sabbath breakers are not from God. Jesus broke the Sabbath, therefore Jesus is not from God. QED, quod est demonstrandum, proven, done. Except, how then did he heal the eyes of the blind man if he were not from God? The prosecution has a big problem on its hands. Call in the parents. Is this your son? Yes, he is. Was he blind? He sure was. How did he come to see? We don't know. Ask him. He's of age. They recall to the stand the formerly blind man. They put him under oath. Tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. We know this Jesus is a Sabbath-breaking sinner, and God doesn't work through sinners. So then how did you come to see? And the man tells the same story again, along with a little theology on the side, and the Pharisees throw him out of the synagogue for being a disciple of Jesus, the one he had never seen. Jesus finds him, excommunicated now, and he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Another kind of sideways, off-the-wall question. And the man says, who is he that I may believe? And Jesus delivers the clincher, as he did to the Samaritan woman at the well. You have seen him, he says, and I am he who speaks to you. Ding! Faith, sight, come together, and the man worships Jesus, leaving the synagogue in the rearview mirror. Then Jesus cuts to the chase. It's for judgment I have come into the world. Not to judge the world, but to be judged, to create a crisis of the cross. Jesus never wastes a good crisis. That those who are blind might see, and those who see would become blind. He is the light of the world, a light so brilliant with the glory of God that it causes the blind to see, but it blinds the religious eye. The blind man sees in his faith, and the Pharisees are blinded in their unbelief. Some will be hardened in blindness after this current COVID crisis has run its course. God has taken away our security blankets. He's smashed our toys. Some will look for someone to blame, some moral calculus to explain how something like this could have happened in the first place. There will be, probably, economic, political, psychological, spiritual repercussions. That's assuming our Lord doesn't appear first. I think this is one of those times where we might agree, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. But some will have their eyes opened to the light that has always shined upon them, even in the darkest of days. Some will see in this moment of global anxiety God's creative spit and mud, making blinded eyes to see. They will hear the word. They will rush to the Siloam waters of baptism, and they will find a God who doesn't fix our problems, whether it be blindness or viral infections, but instead a God who uses all things for his good and for his mercy and for his blessing, that the works of God might be revealed and that Christ would be glorified as Savior. And so, even as God's dearly beloved baptized children, we must all look upon our present situation and repent, change our way of thinking about things. Cast off those idols that kept us from hearing the word and receiving the sacrament. We must lead the way in repentance because repentance is the only way through this. Take a bit of divine spit and mud in the eye, which is a far cry from a dab of ashes on Ash Wednesday, and return to our own baptismal pool of Siloam, that sent pool that heals our blindness and opens our eyes to God's goodness and mercy in Jesus, that even now are at work among us. And like that man born blind, we need to be prepared to be excommunicated by the world of religion and bear witness to him who has opened our eyes and has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's not fun to be a blind beggar at the side of the road, and it's no fun to be caught in the net of a global pandemic and who knows what else. Who sinned? Who sinned that this happened to us? Who is to blame? We all sinned. We all did it. What is God up to in this world? What's he doing with this? He's doing the works of God while it is yet day, before that night comes when no man can work. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light no darkness, including this present one, can overcome. There is light at the end of this darkness. There is day at the end of this night. There is hope and there is healing for us all, because at the end of it all, there is Christ, who is the light of the world. In the name of Jesus.
Let us confess together the Holy Faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we offer before you our common supplications for the well-being of your holy church scattered throughout the world. So guide and govern it by your Holy Spirit, that all who profess themselves to be Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit in the bonds of peace and in the righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace, that they may please you in all things. Behold in mercy all who are in authority over us, our president, the Congress, the governors of our state, the mayors of our cities. Supply them with your blessing, that they may be inclined to do your will and walk according to your commandments. We humbly ask your abiding presence in every situation that you would make known your ways among us, especially in this most difficult time. Preserve those who travel, satisfy the desires of your creatures, and help those who call upon you in any need, that they may have patience in the midst of suffering, and according to your will, be released from their afflictions. Through Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord our God, we acknowledge your great goodness toward us, and we praise you for the mercy and the grace that our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, and our hearts have known. We sincerely repent of the sins of this day and those in the past. Pardon our offenses, correct and reform what is lacking in us, and help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Inscribe your law upon our hearts and equip us to serve you with holy and blameless lives. May each day remind us of the coming of the night when no one can work. In the emptiness of this present age, keep us united by a living faith through the power of your Holy Spirit with him who is the resurrection and the life, that we may escape the eternal bitter pains of condemnation. By your Holy Spirit, bless the preaching of your word and the administration of your sacraments. Preserve these gifts to us and to all Christians. Restore them where they, for the moment, are not available to us. Guard and protect us from every danger to body and soul. Grant that we may, with faithful perseverance, receive from you our sorrows as well as our joys, knowing that health and sickness, riches and poverty, and all things come by the permission of your fatherly hand. Keep us this day under your protective care and preserve us, securely trusting in your everlasting goodness and love, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you and in the confession of your name abide unto the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gracious Father in heaven, your Son taught us to be anxious about nothing, and to let the day's cares be sufficient for the day. These days have been hard and full of anxiety. Still our minds and our hearts, we pray. Grant us nights of restful sleep and refreshment. Watch over us, our families, our neighbors, our communities, our nations, and all the nations of the world. Preserve us from discord and strife. Endow our leaders with wisdom and sound judgment. Protect us from every evil of body and soul, and remind us always of your ever good and gracious will to save and to bless. As you have reconciled the world and all things to yourself in the death of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, so grant to us all a measure of your peace. For your name's sake we pray. Gracious God, our Father in heaven, your Son is the great physician of body and soul, who healed with a word and touched the unclean, rendering them clean. Bless those who work in medical vocations, our doctors, physicians' assistants, nurses, orderlies, and those who clean hospitals and clinics. They are our soldiers in the front line of the battle against disease, putting their own lives at risk in order to save others. Protect them, we pray, and grant them courage, vigilance, wisdom, and skill, that through their ministrations you would work your healing. Have mercy, we pray, and hear us, for Jesus' sake. Gracious Father in heaven, your Son taught us that as we serve the least among us, we also serve him. We pray for the most vulnerable in our communities, our elderly, our sick, those who live in the streets and in tents, and those who are isolated and alone. Forgive us when we have forgotten them in our haste to fill our own cupboards.
as your compassionate heart is turned toward the poor and the widowed, the fatherless, the least, the lost, and the lowly. Turn our hearts toward them too, and make us instruments of your goodness. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who in his poverty, weakness, and death won life and salvation for us all. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.